Welcome to Telling Future Generations, the radio ministry of Child Evangelism Fellowship of Illinois. Now here's your host, Dr. Katrina Forseth, a missionary serving as State Director of CEF of Illinois.
If you had to determine the three most important events in the history of the world, what would you say that would be? In my study in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost, the coming of the Holy Spirit, I came across an article that quoted two well-known theologians, Dr. Albert Mohler and the late R.C. Sproul, who is now with the Lord. Both of them said independently of each other that the day of Pentecost is the third most important event in the history of the world. First is creation, because without creation, there couldn't be a history of the world. Also, the events of creation and then the fall of creation set into motion all that is to follow in understanding why we need a Savior that is to come. Second, of course, is Christ's first coming, which fulfilled God's promise to send the promised one into the world to take care of the problem of sin, Satan, and death. All of this was accomplished at Christ's first coming that secured our victory through Christ's perfect life, his atoning death, and Christ's triumphant resurrection over the grave. But the third most important event in the history of the world, right after creation and Christ's first coming, is the day of Pentecost, the coming of the Holy Spirit, which is recorded for us in Acts chapter 2. But what is the specific purpose of Pentecost, the coming of the Holy Spirit? It is actually threefold. The purpose of Pentecost is all about the promise fulfilled, the proclamation of Christ, and the point of the church. Or in other words, the whole purpose of the day of Pentecost is to fulfill God's promise to empower God's people to proclaim Christ, which is the whole point of the church in this present church age until Jesus comes again. First of all, the day of Pentecost is all about the promise fulfilled. But what promise fulfilled are we talking about here? The text in the book of Acts is very clear. Actually, if we go back to Acts chapter 1, which describes the events on the 40th day after Christ's resurrection, the day of Christ's ascension back into heaven, the Lord Jesus told his disciples to wait for the promise of the Holy Spirit that they would be endued with from on high, not many days later. That would actually be fulfilled by God's design on the 50th day, the day of Pentecost. Acts chapter 1, verses 4 through 8 says, "And being assembled together with them, Jesus commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which, said he, you have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence." The same chapter goes on to say, "When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power, after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth." So after reading all this, what are we as God's people today to understand as the purpose of the promise of the Holy Spirit? Well, it's all about empowerment. Empowerment by the Holy Spirit to be Christ's witness. But maybe like the disciples back then, you have questions like, where are we to be a witness? Or who can be a witness? Again, the text in Acts chapter 8, including Jesus' own words, are clear. Where are we to be a witness? Jesus said, everywhere. Beginning in our own backyard, Jerusalem, our surrounding Judeas and in Samaria, to those places and people who are unlike us or who even do not like us, and then spreading ever outward, even unto the uttermost part of the earth. But until when are we to be continued to be a witness in this world? Until everyone, everywhere has heard the good news of Christ. Mark chapter 16, verse 15 is another clear verse answering the where question. Jesus said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." This means to every tribe, tongue, people, nation, and to every man, woman, boy, and girl. All people everywhere need to hear and know about Jesus. But not only does Acts chapter 1 and chapter 2 tell us where to be a witness by the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, but also it tells us who can be a witness. Jesus wasn't just speaking to the 12 disciples about the promise of the Holy Spirit, because on the day of Pentecost, before the Holy Spirit came upon them in Acts chapter 2, the Bible tells us there were 120 believers gathered together praying and united in one accord. Jesus didn't just single out some of his people to be his witnesses, but rather the promise of the Holy Spirit is for all of God's people who believe in Jesus, because all of God's people, both individually and all together, are empowered by the Holy Spirit to be witnesses for Christ. In fact, it was on the day of Pentecost, that 50th day, that Peter answered this very question of who this promise of the Holy Spirit was for, because he actually quoted an Old Testament prophecy from the book of Joel that was now being fulfilled with the coming of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. Peter said in Acts chapter 2, verses 16 and 18, he says, "But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams, and on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days my Spirit, and they shall prophesy." What Peter was saying here is simply this, that times have changed. No longer is it just Moses and the prophet's job in the Old Testament to be a witness for God, a messenger for God, testifying to the wonderful works of God and the truthful words of God. Now, with the coming of Pentecost, it is everyone's job to be a witness to the true and living God, to be Christ's witnesses, because the pouring out of the promise of the Holy Spirit has now come upon all of God's people who believe in Christ. That means whether you are a Galilean fisherman like Peter or a simple handmaiden who have little stature or esteem in the eyes of the world, if you are a believer in Christ, you now have the promise of the Holy Spirit poured out upon you, and you, by the Holy Spirit working in you and through you, are empowered to be and are actually chosen to be Christ's witnesses. But in the 21st century today, where can you and I be Christ's witnesses? Well, let's go back to what Jesus said. Jesus said to first start in your own Jerusalem, and then in your Judea, your Samaria, and then spreading ever outward unto the uttermost part of the earth. That means you are to be a witness for Christ in the beauty parlor and in the barbershop. You are to be a witness for Christ when you're standing in line at the grocery store or sitting down in a restaurant. You are to be a witness for Christ in your home, in your church, and your community. It includes being a witness for Christ in the public school, in the public square, your place of employment, and we're traveling on an airplane heading across state or to another country across the world. God has called you, chosen you, equipped and empowered you to be his witness by giving to you and to all who believe in Christ equally the promise of the Holy Spirit. For it is the Holy Spirit who indwells and empowers you to be Christ's witnesses. But the purpose of the day of Pentecost is not only about the promise fulfilled in the coming of the Holy Spirit, but also about the proclamation of Christ. Well, some of you out there listening might say, "Hey, Katrina, aren't you just saying the same thing?" Well, no, I'm actually not. You see, first of all, the promise fulfilled is about empowerment by the Holy Spirit to be a witness for Christ, answering those who and where questions. But second, the proclamation of Christ is about how to be a witness, to answer the question specifically, how are we to proclaim the message of Christ to others? I would actually encourage you to read on your own the whole chapter of Acts chapter 2 from stem to stern, because it is a wonderful example in the New Testament of an evangelistic message that centers on Christ. A fancy theological term for a Christ-centered message is actually called the kerygma, because it's all about the kernel, the key message of the person and work of Christ. The kerygma includes the following key points found all throughout the various messages in the book of Acts, beginning here with Acts chapter 2. The kerygma emphasizes the life of Christ, Christ's perfect life and power in miracles and in teaching. The kerygma emphasizes the crucifixion, Christ's death, burial, and resurrection in power and glory. And also the kerygma often incorporates the ascension of Christ and Christ's return. But the foundational message woven throughout the kerygma is that all this happened in fulfillment of the scriptures, the Old Testament prophecy that was now fulfilled in the person and work of Christ, proving that Jesus is the Christ, Jesus is Lord, and the only Savior of the world. But do not miss this point. The whole purpose in proclaiming Christ is not just to give information about Christ, but to call people to believe in Christ so that others can come to Christ and be saved. That's why the key verse in Acts chapter 2, the whole chapter, summarizes the purpose of Pentecost in proclaiming Christ is Acts 2, verse 21, where Peter stands up and says, "And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Then later, when the people had heard the kerygma, the key message of Christ, the personal work of Christ proclaimed, they responded, and the Bible says that 3,000 people that very day were saved. You see, the whole point in proclaiming Christ is not just to give information about Christ, but to invite people to put their faith in Christ. For as Peter said, this promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. I don't know about you, but sometimes I struggle with truly proclaiming Christ. I might hit around the message of sharing the information about Christ, but sometimes I stop short of dotting the I and actually inviting people to place their trust in Christ. Well, some people might say, well, isn't inviting people to go to church or to attend a Bible study, isn't that being a witness for Christ? Or can't you be a witness for Christ by your life so that others will see Christ in you? Yes, all of that is true, but unless people also hear a clear message proclaimed to them about who Christ is and what Christ did and also how they can call upon the name of the Lord and believe in Christ as their Lord and Savior, the witness of Christ falls short of the biblical commission to proclaim Christ. Recently, I was in a car accident and I had an opportunity to proclaim Christ. After about an hour into interacting with a person, I finally walked through an open door and turned the conversation to the truth of Christ as the only hope for this world and for eternity. But looking back, if I had to evaluate myself, I was really hitting around the target and not going for the gusto and truly proclaiming the full message of Christ. You see, we must proclaim the full message of Christ to a lost and dying world, including who Jesus is, what Jesus did, and what Jesus offers, all by God's grace alone, through faith alone, to all those who believe, so they may call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. You see, the purpose of the day of Pentecost is not only about the promise fulfilled, the proclamation of Christ, but also, third, it's all about the whole point of the church. The point of the day of Pentecost was the point that began actually the birth of the church. But also the point of the day of Pentecost is that the church of Christ would grow together both internally and externally. And that's what the rest of Acts chapter 2 is all about. As God's people, those who came to Christ that day, began to study God's word together, fellowship together, broke bread together, prayed together, and did life together, they were conformed and being conformed to the image, the likeness of Christ, growing together internally. And what was the result? The last verse in Acts chapter 2 says, "And the Lord added to the church daily such as were being saved." Or in other words, the internal spiritual growth of the church resulted in the external growth of the church, all by the Lord's sovereign grace, even up to this current day. This is the point of the church and the purpose of the day of Pentecost, for the church to grow. Years ago, when I was a student at Moody Bible Institute, we had a guest speaker who reminded us of the importance and the purpose of the day of Pentecost in a very poignant way. He started out his message by saying, "Everyone turn to Acts chapter 29, where my message is taken from." Throughout the auditorium, you could hear pages of the Bible being turned back and forth as the students were whispering to each other as everyone was frantically trying to find Acts chapter 29. But just when we thought the speaker had made a major faux pas, a big mistake, the missionary guest speaker interrupted our page-turning attempt and spoke directly into the microphone for all to hear and said this. He said, "There is no Acts 29 recorded in the book of Acts. Because you, the Church of Jesus Christ today, you are Acts 29. You see, the purpose of Pentecost is not a one and done, but it continues on to this day. So I say unto you today, my brothers and my sisters in Christ, you are Acts 29. You and all of us together are the continuation of Acts chapter 2. You and all of us together are today the purpose of the day of Pentecost. If you remember nothing else today, remember this, that the purpose of Pentecost does not end with Acts chapter 2, but continues on and lasts until the next major and the climactic event in all of history, which is Christ's return. Until then, the church that began in Acts chapter 2 is the church of Acts 29 today. Because the purpose of Pentecost is the purpose and the mission of the church today, that includes the promise of the Holy Spirit to all who believe, for the empowerment to proclaim the message of Christ, which is the whole point of the church, until Jesus comes again. Thank you again for listening to Telling Future Generations, and we do hope you join us again next week. Until then, may the Lord bless.
Thank you for joining us today for Telling Future Generations, the radio ministry of Child Evangelism Fellowship of Illinois. To learn how you can partner with Child Evangelism Fellowship to reach children in your community, please call 309-688-9699. or visit cefofillinois.com. Please join us again next week at the same time for Telling Future Generations.
Tell me again.